بعض الصيام كان بعض الصحي
The line is breaking. The line is breaking.
Lama de kushai rista la bakila kita mundri kono sob kibosro kibos sakati la badi di kana mati di soli di soli mazre di ado wichai pa bolu Mama moro sekte ke la bos nem glado sek kapulin breki tumando so imani kabi boroso soli ibrahia. Thank you Jesus, thank you Jesus, that your name be praised forever and ever. Lei mama ko soli ibi pana mondo ko satanie nem glada ta bobo ko shila la ba sataya. Be glorified, be glorified, be glorified, Lord. Be glorified, be glorified, be glorified, be glorified. Be glorified in the heavens. Be glorified on the earth. In the sand, Lord, be glorified in the temple.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Be God, glory. And I began to see the unpreachable things. I began to see things that is beyond human reasoning and understanding. Lord, you are taking us to a realm that is beyond our natural intellect. We want you to give us an insight into the mystery of your kingdom. Lord, to show us things that are beyond knowledge. We exercise ourselves, the Lord, He said he's lifted up above his own personal thought and imagination. It's not what he has thought, because God is who he says that he is. He says to Moses, I am that I am. Lord, we just worship you tonight. Help us to see you as you are. Your promise that you will not hide yourself away from us. It's given under us to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. And you have promised to reveal yourself unto us. Lord, we trust you for revelation tonight. For unfolding. We want to see behind the veil. We want to see beyond the natural. We want to give you as you are. The Lord is the Spirit. We want to step into the realm of the spiritual as your angel. That will begin to declare the holiness of God. As in the name of Jesus. Not as we have thought. Not as we have imagined. Not as we have preconceived. But as you are revealing. As you are revealing unto us. Father, we trust you for such revelation and insight tonight. Help us. Bring us to the place whereby we can walk worthy of the Lord unto our place. Show us things that are hidden from our sight. But we need to know. Supply our needs tonight. Feed us with the manna that comes from heaven. As back here on the wolf on this side. We pray in Brana Mamloko Soti. Nurture our faith tonight. Give it strength and ability that is required to be able to walk out the details of your plan and your purpose for our life. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. In a very special way, I want to welcome you to the School of Purpose on here. I believe this is one of the means through which God is reaching out to his people in this end of the age. And right there where you are, I believe that God is reaching out to you because God is only being faithful unto you. The Bible says day to day, God authorizes speech. And I believe God is always speaking and seeing our heart with instruction as God's own people. And my prayer tonight is that God will give us grace to be able to take heed of his word, to be able to walk out the truth of God's word in our lives, so that we'll not be forgetful hearers, but doers of the work, so that what God is saying to us, to go out there and walk it out. And I believe that the spirit of revelation and insight is here tonight. And I believe the same anointing, the same apostolic grace is resting upon your life right there where you are. To receive the same that God is communicating unto us, because you must be on the same page. You must share the same spirit before you can begin to access the truth of God's word that God is communicating unto us and to God's sons and daughters all over the world. Yeah, this transmission and this network is reaching. I believe that God is speaking to us heart to heart. You know, God is just using this channel to reach out to us, to nurture our faith, and to make us to move on in the things of the Spirit of God. So once again, you are welcome to the School of Purpose on here. I always say that it's a place where you learn the heart of following God, the heart of following God. That's because people go to church, but they are not really following God. They're not really following God. They're not really following God. And if you want to follow God, must ready to make instructions for your life. You must be able to take your steps after him. You must be committed to his word, his deed, and his way. There's a way God wants us to do. And that is what is under attack today. And we, most of the time, we do the commandment of the Lord in our own way. And that is how we are missing it. God does not want us to fall short. God does not want us to meet the mark any longer. That is why God wants us to have such spiritual education as we're having in the direction of God's purpose and plan for our lives. So once again, I want to say you are welcome. Right there where you are, I want you to fasten your seat belt, and I want you to sit right. I want you to be open and receptive to what the Holy Ghost is communicating to us in this season. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're going to run this series on walking in divine obedience, responsive obedience, responsive obedience. We saw that God has called us to a life of obedience. And he has called us to obey him, not to disobey him. Before we come into Christ, we've been living a life of disobedience. Thereby we say, that God, you cannot just be controlling us. You cannot just rule in our life. You cannot just, you know, you cannot just give us instruction and expect us to obey you. Our spirit, you know, the nature that we carry, is not subject to the authority of the Word of God. It's, you know, that we always, you know, match the truth of God's Word that is coming to us with some hostility and resistance in our heart. The psalmist said in the book of Psalms, Psalm 2, he said, why are the houses rich? Where are the people? Hallelujah. Where are the people who might invent things against the Lord? And if I know it's the same, he cannot rule over us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sorry for that. Amen and amen. He said he cannot rule over us. You know, and he said, let us come together. Because natural women are full of mischief. He said, let us break his bands. Let us cast away the yoke. You know, because they have been misinformed. They have been misguided by the devil. They have been, you know, they have bought the lies and the bullshit of the devil in their life. That's why they thought God is really, really after them in order to get them down. They were seeing God as a taskmaster, not as a loving father. But Jesus Christ came, you know, to turn the tides around, to show us the truth about the Father, about who the Father is. That's not, you know, the Father is not what the devil calls the Father. You know, that's not the Father. Glory to God. That's why you must stop hearing from the devil, you must start hearing from God. And Jesus came as the Father's Son to demonstrate to us and to show unto us who the Father is. And that's the reason why he came. The Bible says the express meaning, the direct representation of the Godhead. He is the one who has come to exemplify the truth about the reality of God. And it's only through him that we have come to know the only true God. Praise the name of the Lord. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 that Jesus has come for that purpose to show unto us the Father, to reveal the Father unto us. He has come to show us this is his high intention. So when we come to that point, we begin to realize that changes have begun to take place in our lives. That's what we call transformation. You know, because we have new information. We have fresh understanding about the reality of God. And anyone that has such fresh understanding of the true reality of God, definitely you will want to be subjective. You know, you will want to submit yourself to the authority of God. And that is one way the yoke of Satan is being, you know, is being broken in our life. That is one way the cycle of defeat is being destroyed in our life. That is one way, you know, we get to know that we must stop seeking the devil, we must stop submitting to the devil, because we have been translated to the kingdom of God, via own stall, we are in the law. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So we was in disobedience, but now we are obedient children. We are obedient children. We begin to see reasons in what God is saying to us. The devil has come to disrupt our reasoning, you know, but Jesus has come to give unto us understanding that we may know the only true God. Praise the name of the Lord. And now we can say, God, we are ready to follow your will for our life. We are ready to follow your ways for our life. We are ready to do your thing in your own way. We are ready to please you in an acceptable way. To us, the commandment of God is no longer grievous. You know, to those folks in the book of John chapter 8, you know, the Jewish people that were following Jesus around, hanging around him with multitudes of questions, and yet they were full of hostility towards God, and, you know, they have a rebellious heart towards God. That is breaking that rebellious nature in our lives by the power of his word. You know, when the truth of God's word is coming unto you, God will begin to soften your heart. That's why the Bible says, on that day, he said, I will give unto you a new spirit. You know, he said, I will take my word, I will put it in your heart, and you will not be taught to love the Lord, except from the least to the greatest. We'll begin to see reasons why we've got to love the Lord. We've got to see reasons why we've got to submit ourselves to the authority of God. Why? Because when you are subjected to the authority of God, it is only then that demons are subject unto you. It is only then that inanimate objects will begin to hear your voice and begin to move. It is only then you can begin to exercise dominion and authority. Glory to God. And that is what Jesus has simply come to restore back unto us. He has come to restore back unto us a life of obedience. Because we need to walk in obedience unto God to be able to retain our mandate of dominion and exercise our authority over the devil. The devil will understand all these things. That's why he will always want to talk you into disobedience. He knew how powerful Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. And he said, well, I'm going to reduce you to nothing. I'm going to make sure you lose your authority and your power. Why? Because when you are not subject to higher authority, there is no way the lower authority can be subject unto you. You know, that man that came to Jesus, he said, I'm a man who commands, soldiers. I have people under me. You understand? When I say this one to go, then it will go. He understood that Jesus is a man who is under authority. So Jesus has come to put us under authority of God, not by coercion, not by forcing us to do it, but by giving us the revelation of who God is as a Father. Then we are not just no slaves of God, we are willing servants of God. And until we come to that point, that's so we can walk in power, that's so we can walk in dominion. So the power that we lost in Adam, Jesus has come to restore it back to us. The glory that we lost in Adam, Jesus has come to restore it back to us. The authority that we lost in Adam, Jesus has come to restore it back unto us. And that is why you've got to begin to rejoice in Christ. Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. The Bible says, after being justified by faith, he said, we have peace with God through one man, Jesus Christ. He said, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Listen to me. Listen to me tonight. You see, what really touches the heart of God is not your sin, it's not your rebellion. What really touches the heart of God is what you are losing. Because he has testing you to walk in dominion and authority. He wants you to rule over everything that he has created. That is what is touching the heart of God. Look at people that are put in control, but they are now out of control. That is why God said, for these to be restored back unto you, I've got to show you the kind of God that I have. I'm not just a God of a father. I'm a responsible father. I'm a loving father. When you see me as man who is ready to pay any price to get you back to order, to get you back on your feet, to walk in dominion and power, and I was paying you to walk from the beginning of the world. He said, then you begin to realize, oh, God, this God is just a loving father. Then you're going to willingly embrace the lordship of God, the lordship of Christ in your life. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. See, we are responding to what we are seeing in the Spirit. That's when I saw chapter 6, he said, I saw the Lord. You know, he's highly lifted above my imagination. It's beyond what I saw. It's lifted. It's not what you think about God. And when we begin to make the declaration of Christ from his perspective, then God will begin to draw man onto his own. And the angels are singing, holy, 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 he is the Lord. He is. To begin to declare and proclaim his lordship. You know what I begin to see today? That a lot of people today, they are just struggling to submit themselves to the authority of Jesus. Listen, that's the place where you know Jesus as a Savior. And that's the place where you know Jesus as Lord. So it's not just your Savior, but he's also your Lord. But you must first see him as a Savior before you can begin to submit to him as Lord. So people who are not first seeing him as a Savior, they cannot submit to his lordship. And that's why they're not strong in the life of most believers today. Why? Because there's something that this person is about, you know, about their salvation. About, you know, their understanding of their salvation. You see, when you begin to know the truth, the truth about your salvation, you understand, about what has brought you to the new position where you are today in God. We begin to see what it cost ever to bring you to this new status. Whereby you have become an heir of God, joint heir with Christ Jesus. You that are once of those people, you've not become the people of God, not one favor in the sight of the Lord, not because of anything you have done, but because God, out of his own personal position, and personal initiative, he took it upon himself to arrange and to organize and put in place what it is required for you to come back unto him and for you to be able to come on your feet. It is God wants to see you walk in power. He wants to see you walk in power. See, God is not running for pain. God is not interested in your failure. You're not making God happy when you're in that failure condition. You know what? But you're not making God happy when the devil is rubbing your nose on the floor. And the devil is having a key day. When the devil is just, you know, he's just challenging you and he's just, you know, getting the best of you. God is not bad at all. That's why God said, I want this guy to come upon his feet. I want to bring him to grace, whereby if he did to submit to my lordship. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
He said, with thy heart, man believes unto righteousness. With his mouth, he makes confession unto salvation. He said, when you believe that he died for your sin and he rose for your justification, he said, then you are saved. So when you are saved, you believe he died for your sin. And he rose for your justification. There are two things there. If you believe that he died, not for his own sake, but for your own sake. And when you begin to come to the realization of this truth, because there's someone who can really take up his life for me. He has not his own sake, but his soul. Then I have to submit myself to him. I have got to let him rule in my life. Because when you see the life where God is taking for heaviness and is ruling and is seated on the throne of the master, then you're going to see power. You're going to see presence of God. You're going to see anointing. You're going to see the grace of God moving. You're going to see God blessing other lives through God's channels. Praise the name of the Lord. Those who allow God, who are blessed to submit to his lordship, listen to me. There are people today who say, God, or you say, no, Lord. No, Lord, but if it's Lord, it's a yes, Lord. Now, we are not coerced into receiving him and to accept him as our Lord. We are not coerced into him. We know him by revelation. Because we know the one who is from an area living, the one who laid down his life for the sheep, then is the one who is going to submit our life. Our life is safe and secure in his hand. He said, who then can bring any charge against God's elect? Is it Christ that speaks to the God? He said, he has set up his own because he saw how much more we live together with him freely, evils, all pain, all things. That's what makes it to be a Lord. It's not, we are not receiving a God out of compulsion, but by revelation. That is why what we do for God today, we are not doing it out of necessity, out of compulsion, not because we are being induced to do it, but we are doing it lovingly. We are doing it lovingly. Glory to God. And that here God is taking us to. And that is one way we are going to be a marvel to the world. That is one way we are going to show forth the grace of God in the world. That is one way we are going to show forth the many-sided wisdom of God for principalities and power. God, do not coerce his point to it, but willingly, voluntarily, see God as he is. And the power of their life over unto him, submission to his mercy. Why? Because this is your law. If your law tells you this is the way to go, that's the way you're going to go. And we follow the way that he has prescribed for us because we trust in his law. Glory to God. And that's where our faith. That's what it is. You are going to begin to understand faith from that perspective that is going to go a long way and you are going to go a long way for God. Because you know and you understand that it's God. Oh, he's my father. The shepherd's place to be is to be the pavilion. The shepherd's place to be is to be the secret place of the Most High. That's my revelation. I said, see, the devil keeps wondering. I mean, said, what's wrong with this guy? You know, if God does not just induce these people to do all of these things, you know, if God does not even trust them to do all of these things, you know? Because I see a lot of people today who obey God. You understand? But it's like they are under threat. It's like they are under prayer. Some of them, they say, we're forced to do this. So God does not force people to do things. We must not use the language of force when it has to do with God. The Bible says, in the day of his power, his people shall be believed. In the day of his power is the day of revelation. It's the day of Christ. That's what God was announcing. In the day of his power. In the days where God wants to exercise his mercy over the adversary. God wants to show his almightiness. God wants to show his supremacy and sovereignty. Even though these people have abused me, these people have walked away from me, but I still love them all the same. That is the strength, that is the might of God. He still went out of his way and Gideon as the walking power. Glory to God. So for us, I tell our people that come to the church today, they only acquainted with the gospel of salvation. They have faith, but they don't move on in their walk with God. So the first black that the people are checking as law. That's why, if you have the same viewpoint and you begin to have such perspective towards the word of God, you understand that they're going to go a long way for God. Praise the name of the Lord. Because they're not going to see it just as an, you know, as an instruction from someone who hated you, or from someone who wants to use you, or someone who wants to take advantage of you. You begin to see it, God's word, as God's love letter to you, as a word to keep you safe and to preserve you in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation. That's the way you're going to view the word of God. So every word that God says to you, you begin to realize that his commandments are not written. John the Apostle, he said, we have come to believe in the love that the Father has for us. We have come to believe and rely on the love that the Father has for us. As the same John said, he said, we know that his commandments are not grievous. It's for my good. It's for my good. So it's my law. So see, this message is for those people who are failing that law. Because I want your perspective to the word of God to begin to change. Because this is what will facilitate the life of obedience to your life. You know, you're not going to do a lot of things. Because you feel God is too hard on you. You're going to feel God. You see, you're not, you don't feel what I'm feeling. If you are on the same spot, you know, you will have known better. If you have known the situation around me, you wouldn't have been talking like that. If you know the way that person has really hurt me and he has really done so bad to me, you wouldn't have been talking like that. If you find out that, you know, I just find myself in a straight collar, you know, and in a straight jacket. You if it were you, you wouldn't have been able to do anything. You know what I'm saying? I didn't say God, so what you are demanding from me is too much. Listen to me, that's the demand of the spirit in this end of the day. The Bible says your flesh is placing demand on you. The spirit is letting the matter you. That's why when you are open to the truth of God's word, you have built this spiritual reservoir for yourself so that you'll be able to fulfill the demand of the spirit for this end of the age. Because I've seen a lot of people crash land. I've seen a lot of people falling short. I see a lot of people mentioning. The Bible says, when I come back, will I see my face on the heart? Because the devil has come to castigate God in their sight. The devil has come to blaspheme and to blackmail God, paint God black and blue in their sight. So they begin to lose their vision of God. They begin to lose consciousness of the reality of his law towards them. And when people begin to miss it this way, you understand, they begin to stagger in faith through unbelief. They begin to stagger at the promise of God. They cannot walk straight with God any longer. They begin to follow God with conditions, with strings attached. They begin to tell God that, well, you know, if you want me to obey you, then you're going to do this for me, you're going to do this for me. Look, I've said in the course of this series of teachings that the purpose of obedience is to glorify God and not for self-glorification. We do not obey God because of what we want to make out of it. We want to obey God because he is our Father. No, if your father wants to send you an errand, then see, they say, well, daddy, if you want me to go, then you're going to buy a car for me. No, you're not going to do anything like that. But because it's your father, he said, if I am your father, where is my honor? So God is looking for sons and daughters who will honor him with their life. Jesus honored the Father with his life. That's a perfect example. So the head said that in John 17, when he was living inside of the world, he was able to say, well, I've glorified you on the earth. I've finished all. I tell you, you must understand what Jesus went through. Yet he said, I've done all. In spite of the attack and opposition, in spite of, you know, the aggression of the devil to kill him, to choke him, and to suffocate his destiny, in spite of, you know, all the attempts of the devil that he made on his life and on his destiny to sidetrack him and all of those things, he still went about doing good. He still went about pleasing the Father. He still went about doing what is pleasing in the sight of the Lord. The Bible tells us that he was in all points tempted as you are. Because that, but yes, it will not succumb to prayer. Why? Because he was not living for personal interest. He was not living for personal glorification. He wasn't doing all of those things so that somebody can clap out for him. You know, I used to tell people that Jesus is not looking for man's love. If Jesus had been looking for man's love, then he wouldn't have allowed the multitudes that left him to go. He would have told them, oh boy, well, this is not what he wants. I'm going to preach that stuff to you. I know, even if you are going to have dinner tonight, you know, I'm going to multiply fishes and bread. I just see people who are pastors, who are clapping their hands back. I don't even fast for. If I look at the 12 that was left and the 13, will you also go? I know, I said, I need to ask myself this question. If the 12 have left him on that day, what will be left? I said, and God answered me, said, God will provide other people. Hallelujah. Who believes in that vision? Glory to God. Who believes in the goal of eternal life? Who believes in the purpose of God? For it's like, it was so strong. Only a few pastors can do that. That's why you're going to see a lot of pastors today who do things that people want. You know, they follow the Aaronic order. You know what happened to Herod? He made a multi car for the people. And when what was challenging, he said to him, he said, what have these people done wrong to you? That you presented another God to them. You see, that is what they want. You know, they were so mischievous. And if I don't give them what they want, you know, they're going to give me what I don't want. Hallelujah. Maybe they're beating, they're slapping. I mean, they're slapping and all of those stuff. You see, most pastors today who are standing on the feet of God's word, you know, they've had this word pierced through their heart. There's a pain to the marrow. But you see, we're not just enduring it. We are taking it lovingly to complete in our body that which is left of the purpose of God. Hallelujah. To finish the work of Jesus. You know, our ministry is the continuity and the extension of the ministry of Jesus. What a privilege that God has given us to all. But you know, we are doing a kind of church today. I'm calling church by sentiment. Sentiment I say to you. As long as I can do that, I do not call you to hold that. As long as you have your feet here. That was what Jesus said to those guys. He said, well, all of you are following me now. But by the time I begin to foundation for the kingdom of God, you know how we put this projection in God. Glory to God. I'm not going to them way. Glory to God. I'm not following him. I'm following him all around the place because they have their people. Nobody tells them that we're, you know, you're a woman like that. Nobody tells them that you're an adulterer. Nobody tells them that you're that kind of thing that you are doing ungodly. Nobody tells them that you don't have to go around sleeping around. Nobody tells them you have to be mischievous. Nobody tells them all of those. You know, I forget of this call. The cause of more than 20 years of full-time ministry. And a lot of things, you are going to get things, you know, going on smoothly. I'm able to be clapping and enjoying in the church. You understand? If you will not tap into those areas, if you will not talk to people about what will position them and preserve them for eternity, just keep, you understand, having to be a schedule. Everything they do, just tell them to try. I say, yeah, you're getting this pastor. And I tell you, there are most people today that are just looking for pastors who will preach things that will suit them. They're just fulfilling prophecy. They're fulfilling prophecy so they can be their own pastors. And God will give them pastors after their own heart. Who will tell them that will suit them? They are not going to anywhere. They have no goal. They have no vision in life. They are not seeing the vision of eternity with God, President of the Lord. And see, if you don't want to be paid to tomorrow, you don't want to suffer the loss of law from your members. You want to be the good record of everybody. You understand? There's no way you can do the work of the Lord successfully. There's no way you can do the work of the Lord for the fact whereby God himself begin to say, oh, you faithful servant, praise the Lord. You know, that's what I've discovered over the years. Listen to me. It's God that rewards the man. You understand? Men give awards. But God is the one that rewards. And God will not forget your labor of love. See, I know that someone of this line right now, you understand, you are getting tired, near the house, you know, this story. What? Because there are barriers of attack. You begin to think in yourself, I go to several times, and I keep thinking to myself, I say, God, I might be one getting it wrong. This is a wrong thing to direct the people of God in the way of God. So show them the vision of the kingdom that Jesus thought to offend these people. He told them that that is the best form of what to have seen. Of course, for a better reason. Now that you have me, you better take the advantage of what you want to have. I come to secure eternity for you. I come to bring God's provision down to her. Praise the Lord. You begin to take us, but that's what he has done to offend them. And they say, who shall endure thee? This is the hard thing. He said, and all of them begin to call him Joker. They say, Christ Johnson, Michael, come on. Let us go. And I guess so, you know, when people have a movement like that, they push a leader for themselves, and I go to my great church. And that's why I'm going to teach today that your church is that I'm growing. You understand? Because some people are migrated to that state. Why? You know, the rest is in the church. You understand? They come from the back end into that public church. You understand? That's why when church people come, you must not to teach them according to the word of the Lord. Please, I don't want you to lose your focus tonight on this dimension of, you know, things that really concern God. Things that really came in the hand of God. You see, the concern of God is what we're going to share. Because I've discovered today that most people don't really come out of the gospel. That is the reason why they cannot preach the message of grace. And the message of grace is to bring the disobedience into the grace of the truth. And I believe that God will anoint us in this apostolic community so that our tongue will be like the back of the resurrection. So that, you know, our words will be seasoned with us. That's going to be gracious words. Praise the Lord. So you must know the real heart of the gospel. The real heart of the gospel is not the same of the sinner. The real heart of the gospel is what the sinner is missing. He can't walk in dominion. He can't walk in power. He can't be a true representative of God. And God wants you to have all of those things back. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God wants you to have all of those things back. He wants you to walk in authority. He wants you to walk in power. And that's what we want to begin to see in the church today. We want the church to begin to rise on the sea. We want the church to begin to walk in order. We want to have the church to begin to walk according to the dictates of the Spirit of God. This is the Lord. And this is very important. And when the authority of God is established in the church, it is then that it can spread its rulership to all other parts of the house. Praise the name of the Lord. It says the fullness of him that filleth all things in every way. You know, he said the water will flow out of Zion, and it will water the dry land. What Pastor says in an ever-increasing manner. That's what we're going to see. It's going to come from Zion. Because Zion is the city of the firstborn. Zion is the place where Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. He said, of Mount Zion. That Mount Zion is the city of God. It's the city of the King. It's the place where obedience is the rule of the king. It's the place where you die to your own personal desire and you live by the desire of the King. It's the place. It's the place we have all run onto as a refuge. And when you are a refugee in a place, you've got to comply by, you know, with every instruction that is given in that place. You've got to obey the rules. You obey the law of the land. You must not follow the instruction of the king. That's what we're going to do in Zion. That's why the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that you have come from Mount Zion. You have come from the most high. You have come from the incredible comfort of angels. You know, all of these, you know, God is only telling you the stretching of the authority of God established in Zion, a place where we know God as the king. He is our king. Hallelujah. He is our king. Yes, another king called Jesus. That was the message that Paul preached and people started to expose that king. What happened? Glory to God. What's wrong? No one will be our king. You know, that is the king of all kings. The Lord of all lords. He is our Lord. It is obedience to his word that really counts. So it doesn't matter what we are saying and what we are feeling. You know, Peter has those guys that came to arrest him. He's still among yourselves. Who do you think I should obey? To obey you or to obey God? Because he says, I cannot but speak those things that I've seen and I have heard. Because this man has had an encounter with God. He has come to be able to see God as the king of his life. You must see him as king. You must see him as your Lord. It doesn't matter what your opinion is, what your partner interest is. It's the opinion of God. It's the opinion of the king that is important. Hallelujah. It says we are the word of the king. There is power. And we are ready to run with the world. Just speak the word and run with the world. Whatever you want, your desire. You know, you see, when your king is coming to you, you don't say, well, I have my own desire, I have my own idea, I have my own desire, I have my own vision. I see, because some people thought that, you know, the church of Jesus is democratic setting. And the people that say democracy must play a role in the church. No, God is not a democrat, God is a theocrat. Glory to God. He is the king, he has a final say. He is the sovereign God. That's why I'm going to see a lot of people who are democrats, you know, they have a democratic spirit. I don't want to bring you to the church. So that's how you see the politics of the world coming out of the church. You know, the quality of the kingdom is different. Oh, he's a theocrat. He said, just like he came, you understand, he was, he's a fight. What you have from me, yes, Lord, what has been forcing to where you are today? You willingly follow him by revelation. You see what he has done for you, and then I shall give my life to you. I believe that if you've done all this much for me, no, my life is saved in your hands. You cannot mislead me, you cannot misguide me, you can only lead me in the direction of your eternal provision for my life. And see, we've got to begin to understand God from this perspective. It makes a life of obedience to become very, very easy for us. It's the name of the Lord. Because when you understand the faith, you understand, if you say, God, you are taking me somewhere, you are moving me to somewhere. It's the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm invited to my spirit. He's my Lord. Hallelujah. He's not just my Savior. He's my Lord. The one who laid down his life for the sheep. You know that? He's the shepherd of my soul. He's the shepherd of my soul. Wherever you proceed, I will follow. It doesn't matter how bleak it looks. No matter how black. It looks no matter how, not promising that it appears. It may look as if, it doesn't have any hope of material, personal ability. But wherever he has been followed, because his voice and his word is the safest thing to follow as a foundation our mind after. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. I want to know that God has an agenda. God have a purpose for your life. That is why it was restoration, perfect restoration. I decree perfect restoration for you. In the mighty name of Jesus. All that were lost, the power, the authority, the dominion that are lost, that restored back to you. The people who cannot get a mockery in the world. You know, we have people who have left you to the call, they have mocked you, they have despised you. God will keep unto you double for your shame. In the mighty name of Jesus, I shall tell you that the glory of the house shall be greater than the former. Why? Because there is a sense of renewal in your life. God is bringing unto you new strength, dimension of power and authority. God will come to rule in your life. When you allow me, to take the heaviness over every heart of pain, then I shall proceed that you begin to take the heaviness over every other thing in the world. We are to praise God. It's where God will praise you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We are to praise God. It's where God will bless you. That's not what the Bible says in Colossians. What? He said that he might stay for heaven in all things. That's the place of dominion. That's the place of rulership in our life. That's the place we are giving over to God. And this is the meaning. When it comes to walking the Bible obedience, I want you to hold your Bible to the book of Philippians chapter 2. I want to show you something from that day. That's where we have been taking ourselves. I want to show you something there. Philippians chapter 2. For you to know that God has a purpose. God has a purpose. God has a purpose for your life. You know, God has talked about how Jesus humbled himself. Now, let me start from that place. Let me start from that place, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, that made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. You see, to conform to this order, without you thinking otherwise, without you having a kind of prejudice in your mind and considering that the truth in hand, God, that's where some of us do feel to you. I say, God, why do you allow it for that person and you don't allow it for me? Why is it that you, that person, you place it over me and I'm under him? Why is it that I'm not the one that saved my soul, that sort of person? He said, God, it's not robbery. Why? Because, it is blessing. It's not robbery. Because it will not defeat you, it will not diminish you, it will rather add value to your life, because God is after something. God wants to deal with all the enemies in your member. God wants to deal with all the enemies in your body, in your flesh. You're in the wrong. God wants to pull every part of your life so we have to belong, and he wants to pay his faith of lordship and preeminence in your life. We don't just say he's our Lord, just a mouth. You understand? Let us go say Lord to him, because we open up our lives to him. We make ourselves vulnerable to him. We said, God, we are hopeful unto you. Now we can follow your order and instruction for our life. Why? Because God is going to set away all these evil laws in your life. God is going to put your life under new management. God is going to rescue you from the heart of your flesh. He's going to rescue you from the heart of your soul. You understand? He wants to rescue you from the hand of these enemies of yours and turn them to be friends. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. He says the will of the man please the Lord. He makes even his enemies. When you walk according to divine order, your soul and your body will begin to cooperate with God. You begin to pass from the spirit. Your soul will begin to acknowledge it, you begin to pass the information to your body, and your body will begin to respond accordingly. And God says, I want the order. I want, a kind of a divine order in your life. Because of things, the reflect order is being set right in your life. You cannot walk in dominion and power. That's why God is going to deal with all of those things. That's why most times, when some of us are going through some things in our life, and God is going to give us instruction to deal with what we're not able to see. Listen to me. And it's very important. Most times, we think God is the driver of our life. No. We have the driver of our own life. We have to steer in our hands. All that the Holy Ghost does is that he points our attention to thee and make adjustments. He's not going to make the adjustment for you. So God's going to tell you, this is the way to go. He's not showing you the Son of Man, the way to life and the way to death. Choose life. So you have a choice. Glory to God. So you can take your, because the steering is in your heart. God can tell you, go right while you're going left. God can tell you, go left when you're going right. So it's not because of you being automatic. You see, whatever things God is not part of my life, God take it away. That's the wrong prayer. If God will take it away, then he's going to blow off your head, blow off your leg, blow off some parts of your body. And he's not going to assume that responsibility. Glory to God. And that's the way God deals with his own children. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Like, God is not going to come around and begin to say, I'm going to blow this up. He's not going to do those things for you. What you are supposed to do for yourself, you've got to do. God has his own responsibility. It's responsibility to show you what adjustment in your life that you go ahead and make the adjustment. But what is God? To make the adjustment or not to make the adjustment. Now, salvation has come to all men. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. But are all men saved? It's everyone that is born again. They have a choice. Why is that God cannot force salvation on them? God don't force salvation on people. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, God show it to them and they respond to it. I say, Lord, who do they see? And I will think of God today, my thoughts. When God sees you, when he killed that, he's up that out in my life, everything for love, and everything for love. Oh, Lord, I'm going to give my life to you. No, this is because you are carrying a dangerous spirit. You are carrying a dangerous spirit. That's what you are going to get to twice in your life to say, God, you know, I didn't want to follow you in the first place, but you forced me. I have the place that I'm going to do for you. But God, don't force me. Glory to God. That is the son of man. Experience his kindness and love in our life. That's why we follow him. He said, because I have forgiveness with you, therefore, we fear you. My Lord, praise the Lord. He's the Lord is marking the with you. No man will be able to stand before you. So, you see, I don't believe in God's what kind of theology. That when this one collapsed, when that one collapsed, that God prospered. I've seen ministers of God like that. Who say, God, you know, I didn't want to follow you, but, you know, wherever things come upside down, and you make this to happen, you are carrying the wrong spirit. In other words, you are not serving God because you love God. You are serving God because God wants you. Then you can begin to place the demand of God. I said, God, no, I don't want to, you know, I'm a still go back. You're not building on the right foundation. That is why we shouldn't go up on a good foundation. It's not something that we have to try. Because the way the foundation begins to affect you in the future. You have the wrong foundation. You have the wrong reason. You have the wrong premonition. You have the wrong motive to walk out and begin to see that God, you know, if God owes you some things, you begin to see God is indebted to you. God is not indebted to you, you understand? But you are indebted to God. Why? Because he has paid the debt of your sin. He paid the price over your life and you can never pay back all your life. So don't go to God and pray and begin to say, God, you know this. I left this for you. I left that for you. You know, I'm beginning to ask my God. No. He said, it's an indescribable gift of God. He said, it became poor so that you might be rich. He left his pastor. He left everything so that you can get to where you have been. So what text do you want him to do for you? Oh, come on, let God just give you the load of your sins. You understand? You know, so that You are free to do it the right way you like. Everybody will see that God is spend your time. You see, we must forever live and life to give thanks and praise to God. That's why the Bible says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. It says that you give thanks. So the time, it says, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks. Give the thanking God. He said, you know, he said, thank you unto God who has given us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I see a lot of Christians who are not thankful. You understand? They're not following God with a loving heart. That's why they're going to see today, and you begin to see that disease begin to spread in the body. He said, God, see, I see people that on their account of shoes, because God will not change their shoes. They stop following God. Say, God, say, I said, my shoe is bad. I don't move on time. And God fix it for me. You know, I know I was using very good shoes before I gave my life to Christ. And look at what has become of me. Look at this guy. Oh, Lord, what has become of me? Even when God gives nothing to you, you understand? He has given you all that you need. Glory to God. He has given unto us all. This is a successful life. See, our problem is that, you know, our mind does not go to the direction of God's eternal plan and purpose for our life. You understand? We don't take the hinder of our soul seriously. You understand? We are only concerned about the material world. We are not concerned about where we will spend our eternity with God. We are not concerned about God's position. See, that's why the key of eternal life that He gave us to us, and eternal redemption that He has purchased for us, it doesn't mean anything to us. It doesn't mean anything. We can afford to fling those things away because of few dollars or because of few bad talent. I just say, well, let it go, because we do not buy all of those things. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 or 36, it says, we are not afraid of falling to perdition. We are afraid of believe for the sake of the soul. I don't know how precious your soul is. Then you've got to allow God to begin to do His work in your life. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the name of the Lord. Can you just imagine? He counted not to be robbery, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him. He said he made himself of no reputation. You know, see, men who are going to walk in divine obedience, they're going to learn to make themselves of no reputation. You understand? You are not out to protect your personal reputation. You are out to preserve and to protect the credibility of God. To protect the reality of God in your life. You know, most times your reputation was going to be the next. It's going to be misunderstood by a lot of people just because you are passing your ground for God. At the same time, you see, you are not obeying God because you are looking for personal glory or personal honor or because of the name that people will give to you. And so, oh, this is good person. You understand? The encomiums of men. That's not my reason for serving. We are not looking for reputation with man. We are looking for credibility with God. By the time that the conflict between our credibility with God and our reputation with men, then our reputation with men must be ready to go for it. Paul was called all manner of names. He said, I'm truthful, but they say I'm a liar. He said, I don't fight anybody, but they say I'm a street fighter. He said, you see, these people have come to cause riots. You know, these are gentlemen who are coming to preach the word of God. People call them names. He said, you know, to Elijah, he said, you are the one that troubled Israel. The trouble of Israel has come. You know, he's become an enemy of a lot of people just because of that. If you don't want men to speak my heart, you understand? You want reputation with men, then you cannot walk in the land of Israel. Why? Because Jesus himself is not a man who is out to protect his reputation with men. The Bible says in chapter 3, he has no form of covenant. There's no beauty, no natural attractiveness. Most times, the call of God upon our life may demand the loss of all our natural attractiveness. I remember when, you know, when I joined the ministry, I started the Prevailing Chapel many years back. You know, we literally lost almost everything. We literally lost almost everything. My clothes are torn, my shoes wear out, everything gone. But I know the God that I serve. I know the one who has called me. But I will not stop me from preaching the truth of what works. Things are going bad for you. You understand? If these things are going the other way around, but that doesn't change the reality of the love of God. That doesn't change anything about the call of God upon your life. Because consider your calling, brethren. Not many nobles were called. Not many strong men. You understand? I'm not strong. That's what makes me to be called. You know, I didn't have a noble path. You know, that's why God called me. Praise the Lord. I don't have any issue with reputation with men. I don't have any issue with impressing men. If Jesus has wanted to impress men, he will have fallen into the trap of the devil. I want your house with bread. The devil tempted him for bread. He said, I'm going to fall down from this place and come out of this over. Come on, he said, don't be so surprised. You will have impressed them and everybody will laugh and everything. Most times, when you are walking disobedience, because you want to impress the public, you want to, you know, you want the public opinion to be favorable about you because of what people are thinking or what they will think about you. You're losing most times. Most times, they think you are a winner. No, I'm telling it, but it's for me. But I tell you, you are a big loser sometimes. Those people who are ready to lose their reputation with men in order to build their credibility with God, yet the people who are ready to walk in the path of obedience. I know we are our good shepherd always lead us. He said, he leads us in the path of righteousness. Why? Because there's only one path that leads to life. It's called the path of righteousness. The path is a narrow path. The path is full of stones. It's full of a lot of stones. And God decided not to put it, remove the stones and make it smooth. I believe it. But we have discernment. Glory to God. We know that is the road that leads by. And you know what we are doing today? We are hoping the eyes of the people to see that this domain is the road that leads by. Come just imagine the one who has glory. If Jesus had wanted to impress people, he would have caught that vision, and all of them would have believed. When he was on the cross, he said, well, if you are indeed the king of the Jews, come on, come down from the cross. If you shall heal thyself, he will have just, I just want to impress you to put your reputation that will begin to speak well of you and speak good about you. You understand? I don't care what those bushes are. I don't believe the life of the devil. Those who are ready to walk in the divine obedience, you understand? They must be ready to suffer the loss of their reputation. Men are going to call you names because they don't know better. Paul said, you know, he said, teach me that school of heresy. He said, that same way I follow the God of my heart. Your love. He's meant that call it heresy. They're going to call you names. They're going to call you love. It's not good name. It's not that. It's not who you know. I see a lot of things today, you know, happening in the body of Christ. You know, I see leaders in the body of Christ trying to attack themselves to sinners, trying to attack themselves to criminals. Trying to attack the devil politicians who are money bags, you know. You have to go on even looking for the favor of people. They don't even need you. And they're going to use you and hit you on the head. They are saying, this will come up in obedience. You want to please all those people? The Bible says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, if I still want to please men, I have no worry of my calling. The calling that is upon our life is not to please men. The calling that is upon our life is to please God. That's why we do not preach the message of God. To please men, but to please God. Not to suit men, but to satisfy. Come on, sir, the desire of God. Hallelujah. The glory of this world will find your heaven. You know, when you learn to do some of these things in life, then you can begin to walk in the divine obedience. That's all things God wants you to do in your life. But because we are thinking about what men will think about you, what they feel about you, you know, these and these. Because a man who has suffered the loss of all things, how do you want men to think about me? He said, I've been following the wrong path. And God said, no, I want you to turn away from that path. You can't go in that path any longer. You begin to go in the path of righteousness. And you're going to lose everything you have on the account of that. God has ready to stand afresh. You know, men are going to look at you as a nobody at this problem. That's why Jesus said to the rich man, but he could not obey God. You know, the rich young ruler in Luke chapter 17, he said, sell all that you have and give to the poor. And come, follow me. The Bible says, if he's come back to follow him, that was the invited way out. Because he was speaking about the fact that my reputation with men is at stake. Because when I am the big brother of the boys on the street, we don't have money to give to them. I've given everything else. And now it's become somebody, people that are coming back for me, I'm now following another person. I'm not, if you are going to follow Jesus, you are going to my those who are coming back for you before. Praise the Lord. You know, I've seen people who walk in the back, and they're highly paid. And God said, well, I've called you to full-time ministry, and they resign from the bank, and they have to come and work under another ministry that they have been paid, you know, something that is not enough to take care of their transport. Praise the Lord. You understand? They look so senior, stupid, about that. This is the call I'm going to follow. This is the way it's going to come into work. This is the path that they have chosen for me. See, that's why when we are talking about the evil divine obedience, you know, you've got to be able to take it seriously. Why? Because you cannot exercise authority when you are in the back. You exercise authority when you are in the center of the will of God for your life. Most times I do have myself, I say, well, you see, I don't know that there are, you see, most Moses was trying to move on in the primary purpose of God, even in the palace of Egypt. But that's not the place where you're going to walk in authority. You're in the Lord. I'm going to take you to the school of product study. Now you're going to leave the palace and go to Israel. This is going to be only God who has done that. That is not what your flesh wants. That's why you must learn not to follow your head. You must always learn to follow your heart. Praise the Lord. Most times your heart will lead you, to those passages that look like a downward curve. But listen to me. The way up is down. The way up is down. Those are going to walk in authority and power. Jesus walked in dominion and power, but he was brought down. Glory to God. He was laid down. He suffered the blow of death. But God will not allow his body to rot in hell. Praise the Lord. Then begin to walk in a church of power. I'm going to always show you from this picture how Jesus walked in a church of power. Listen to me. You see, some people don't even follow some of these things. Because we live our life at the values of the world. Authority and power does not mean anything wrong. We battle money. We place more value on vanity. If you were walking in the bad kind, you never want to come to you and say you are outside of the top of your life, you'd lose your authority. You've lost control. That's why you're going to see that the devil is attacking a lot of people today. Because they are not where they are supposed to be. Because they are where they wanted to be. Not where they are supposed to be. That's why in your life, you must always think about God. Where do you want me to be in my life? Where I will be in control. Not where I will be under subjugation. I will be under control of Satan. Under the control of the bodily elements of this world. Praise the Lord. So a lot of people are not getting it wrong. Praise the Lord. Listen to me. I do tell people, which I said, there are a lot of people who are in England. They are not supposed to be in England. They are not just because they just feel that, promotion comes from abroad. But they don't know promotion comes from abroad. You see, when you are where you are not supposed to be, you are going to lose control. You can't walk in authority. You can't pray and your prayer be answered. You can't exercise dominion over the devil. Because the devil will say, well, if he's so precious, man, like my son, I can't control me. Listen to me, what gets Jesus of the head over the devil is like obedience. What the devil do not have, Jesus has. That's why God wanted to have it back. He wants to come under such like a rule in your life. Praise the name of the Lord. And God said, whatever you bind here or that, whatever you lose here or that, have to lose now. He said, this is my holy begotten son, in whom I'm well pleased. He said, hear ye, you shall speak to this mountain. I said, please now. Remove. You wonder why Jesus could still the storm at every stage? Because he's not just in the center of the will of God for his life. He himself is the will of God. Hallelujah. Unlike Jonah, glory to God. He himself is the will of God. He looked at the storm and said, the seas. If you want to look at the storm in your life and said, the seas, you need to make some adjustments in your life. Because you don't want to suffer the loss of your reputation as you are walking into disobedience. Everybody may talk that you are making it, but you yourself to know you are depleting spiritually. You know you are progressing spiritually. You know you are losing it and you are taking away gradually. All you just have is the natural appearance, it's just the glamour that surrounds your life, but you know that emptiness will be your life. It is better you hear the voice of the Lord today, you don't have in your heart like the day of the disobedience. Make sure you stay in the center of the book of life. It doesn't matter who is making that guy of you. It doesn't matter who is making mockery of you. Listen to me. A man of purpose is superior to a man of great possession. Life of the center consists of the abundance of his possession. See, the world, in the material world, when you have great possession, people respect you and regard you. But I don't need it. Why? Because I will not qualify for heaven. I need nobody respect, nobody regard, nobody yes, sir, nobody yes. Yes, yes, ma'am. So get away, I'm going. I don't need a first call. Hallelujah. I just need the comfort of the Holy Ghost in my life. You can mess everything around me. You can mess it up, but it will not even matter to me. What is the matter to me? Where I'm going? I refuse to be distracted. Get it clear in your spirit. A man of purpose is superior to a man of great protection. It doesn't matter what that man has. Remember the story of Elijah. After the event on Mount Carmel. And he said to King Ahab, he said, now, it's time to move. And King Ahab was running on the horse, the other side. And before you know it, you know what happened? The man on foot outran the man that is running on the horse. A man of purpose is superior to a man of great position. When a man has the wrong man of purpose, who can use authority and power? The Bible says they tell our land, our city is well situated. But yet, the water is bad. It's not as we're going to make a change. And they try to out all the talk of the prophet because they are not they are walking disobedience. They cannot cleave to the Lord the way Elisha cleaves to the purpose of God. They don't want to take the risk and cross the Jordan. You understand? They were impotent. They cannot proceed. They cannot deliver. And they went to a man who has been pouring water on Elijah's heart. They went to a man, you understand, who has suffered the loss of reputation, whose reputation has been damaged. Can you just imagine that? Praise the Lord. I remember many years back, you know, before I got married. Because me and my wife, we lived almost on the same street. So my parents, you know, she was telling the senior, you know, the seniors, you know, the brothers at home that, you know, this time I'll come back. I don't know the first time, you know, I've been seeing the brother for a while, you understand, but the first time we have to go to a place to pray for someone. And he said, well, I'm going to call a pastor. We're traveling together to well pray for this particular person. And he said, okay, he was too excited. And when we turned into the Lord, and he saw that I am the pastor, he said, hey, you are pastor? Hey! And he will ask for us to get from, you know, from the church to the battle. Glory to God! You know, the man really disrespected me. He looked down on me. He made mockery of my noise and of my sin. But that would not really matter. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the name of the Lord. And those things I said, oh, God, give this. Don't ask for a pastor. I remember one of my friends, you know, went to the healer's house and they were asking questions. He said, well, yeah, I love the pastor. I said, yes, I'm a pastor. I said, are you the general overseer or the associate pastor? He said, I'm an associate pastor in a branch church. I said, yeah, are you on full time? He said, okay, we will communicate back to you. Praise the Lord. You know, see, what we know about our reputation has been damaged. Why we have no form of covenant. But God needs to wear your precious trail. And that is why we follow the trail that is in our heart. We do have to take the car of the trail. Some people think that we are going down, but we are moving on. The will is not a popular lesson for us. Everything has gone. Nothing. Glory to God. But here we are today. Hallelujah. God is doing his work. He's a God of miracles. He's a God who has come, who will always come in the right time. He said, he makes all things beautiful. It is all time. Don't you not want to suffer such kind of a thing? You understand? They cannot walk in the right obedience. Hallelujah. My sister used to say this that in those days when I started to fight for the ministry, you know, West was still walking in the back. You know, I buy shoes that was 20,000. I'm talking about 25 years ago. Some of these cocoa, I like shoes. Why do you like all of this? And listen to me, when I tried the ministry, I laughed and I said, I remember I preached to this family and I was wearing a little sandal on a conductor. You understand? I said, where is this happening? I think, you know, some of those guys, you know, I see that conducted the wedding for that time. Every time they look at the video, they behave with them all. Because this man has heard the video. Glory to God. Not a sophisticated pastor. But to me, I will not go and borrow shoes from somewhere. I will not go and take anything on credit. You know, I rely more on Christ that is on the inside of me. I am saved by Christ. The life I live is the life of Christ. This is my strength. Christ is the hope of my glory. Hallelujah. That is the first born that he knoweth the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't know. We are doing all the conversation and now we are walking in disobedience. And everybody thinks you are making it, but you know that you are declining spiritually. God says it's time for you to make necessary adjustments in your life. To make necessary adjustments in your life so that you can begin to walk in authority, you can begin to walk in power, you can begin to walk in dominion. Hallelujah. You wonder why some of us today would stand and would say in the name of Jesus, I cast you out and it's gone. And we'll not have to stress ourselves. Glory to God. Glory to God. Why? Because we are the center of the will of God for our lives. We do not have the money. We don't have all the money in this world, but we have contentment. A man of contentment is superior to a man of great riches. He said, the young lions don't lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not lack anything good. He said, God is the God who gives good and perfect gifts. And he comes from the Father of life, from whom there's no shadow of turning, neither there is any variableness. I said, God is the God of good gifts. There's a big blessing of good gifts in our life. Why? Because and you stand in the center of the will of God for your life, then you're going to see, you know, the gift of God will begin to walk in your coming. You're going to die. So you must know what God has called you out for. Stand there. Stay there. Rejoice and keep growing. It's better. I don't know, you know, this is what I used to look at this, you know, this time. I said, loving kindness is better than lying. You know, my lips shall praise you. Your loving kindness is better than lying. Your loving kindness is better than lying. My lips shall praise you. Your loving kindness. He's better than life. You know what I want to say? It means the loving kindness of God is better than life outside of the will of God. The mystery that the righteous have is better than the whole world that is oppressed. You know what the psalmist said? He said, it's a better prayer for that to be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to stay in the tabernacle of the wicked. He said, a day in the house of the Lord is better than a thousand spent elsewhere. It is better. When you stand in the center of God for life, you are blocking the devil off. And that's what the devil don't want. That's why he's going to give law. He's going to dance with a lot of things in your side. He's going to tell you some lies. He's going to tell you some things so that you lose your authority and you lose your power. But Jesus, in life, you're beginning to what he's offered. Hallelujah. You are alive with the feet of God so that you can walk in authority. That authority is what has brought you and I to where we are today. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But made himself of no reputation, verse 7, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. To put upon himself a form of a servant. It's not a servant, but he put on the form of a servant. Lord, your peace for God. That's the way God is calling you. That's the life of obedience. God says, you've got to, God, see, I said something about the leading of God for our life. It's moving us away from ourselves. A self-dominated life. It's going to really deal with self in our life. You know, it's not to say God is demoting you, but God is having to your value spiritually. He put on the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Oh, that is the most diminishing point in the life of a man. Of such humanity. God's glory to God. He put on the form of a man. Present the likeness of man. You understand? Although he God, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death. Of the cross, you know, because you see, when you study this scripture in context, you begin to see what Paul is supposed to report to. God is trying to build something into our life. This is the example of Jesus. That if you humble yourself and you obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, there are a lot of people going to die for. Glory to God. I mean, that we're going to die for. Paul said, I'm dead to the world. Half the world is dead to me. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, that I leave. I say, a lot of people, they see Christ crucified, but they don't see themselves crucified with Christ. And that is the bad thing. Because you're going to die to your whole position. Before there can be a shift in your life. A corner of wisdom of Paul. Paul died, will fall under the ground, and die before I can begin to produce a new method of life. That, he said, it's obedience, you know, unto death. Able. Death. Of the cross is shameful. Because that is obedience to that man. The Bible challenges us in the book of Hebrews. It says, you've not come to the point where you have had blood begin to come out. While you are sweating, or when you are praying, and you are shedding tears of blood. It's a great thought, brother. You have not resisted pain to the point of shedding the blood. You have not said no to the devil. So they say, well, I want to walk in authority, what God has destined me for. So the person says, come on, break it off, brother. Glory to God. I see you breaking off in the spirit. And acknowledging that things you've got to die to. And when you die to all of these things, you know, that is off you go in the spirit. You understand? What was not the case? You understand? You know, the growth that you want in the spirit is not, you know, it's not building of the flesh or the carnal nature. It's not the transferring of the carnal nature. But denying the carnal nature. That's the kind of death that was supposed to die. God was saying that to Peter. He said, that's the kind of death that is going to die. It's not something you die. God will not see the path that you prepare. He said, I can go to everywhere you like. He said, well, that's the someone is going to take you by the hand. That's what the Holy Ghost is doing today. Leaving you in the path of righteousness. So that sex can be born in your life. You're going to die. Listen to me. He said, we are being led like a sheep to the slaughter. I know that time you are taking the sheep to the slaughter.
Wrong.
Let the hand of the Lord come upon you, and such amendment and adjustment will be participated by the help and the grace of God. Whatsoever needed to be cut off from your life, to make your life coming in perfect, and you can begin to lead a life that is glorious and is bringing honor unto God. That is the release upon your life tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to speak for that sickness in your life. Like a family broke or so to the other. I rebuke you, spirit of infirmity. I command you to leave that body. I command you to leave that person. I command you to leave that person. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Just, you know, you had a bone problem. In the mighty name of Jesus. As the candle cast. Let the Lord begin to strengthen your bone, and God will begin to strengthen your bone. Every deformity of any kind, in the name of Jesus, command the power of God to bless your body right now. Let all those disappear, and let everything be stretched out. Let me hold. Let all things go. When it's starting something, he made it good. Everything that is different from that which God has made, in the mighty name of Jesus, I command those things to be gone. In change. Then I will offer restoration. Your sickness is restored. Your grace and glory is restored. Your anointing is restored. Life is the mighty name of Jesus. They're not going to want you to understand that God is bringing back the key into your life. You must not take the key of God from the wrong place. You must, you know, you must not sing the song of Zion in the strange land. The gift of God is coming upon your life right now. It's not for you to prophesy to the devil. It's not for you to begin to congregate with men who are devils incarnate, but for you to use in the house of God for the edification of the body, the profit, and the advancement of the kingdom of God. Father, we thank you. I keep God ministry to your pocket, ministry to your finances. Bring the restoration. Can all these objects are here, God is bringing great recovery in the mighty name of Jesus. And when those things are going to come into your life, you will use it for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Now you come to realize that you've been walking into Egypt and you are making that adjustment. And as you are making that adjustment, even though it may seem as soon as the darkness of God grows up, it may look as if I'm not in the covenant of God. To begin to see that people are beginning to change for you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, God bless you. Make sure you send us on Wednesday. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God will fill the focus of God from your life. God bless you. Shalom.
Shalom.
God bless you.
Oh, we are grateful. For all you have done for us, we are grateful, oh Lord. Father, we thank you because your word we have had tonight, it is sweeter and sweeter than the honey in the honeycomb. Therefore, for every soul under the sound of the voice of your servant tonight, I decree and declare that we will not just be an hearer only, but we will be a doer of your word. For except a grain of corn falls and dies, it abides alone. Therefore, we subscribe and we sign up to divine obedience, to walk according to your divine precept, according to your divine order, according to your divine instruction, according to your divine guidance. We receive grace to lay down our life in response to your word. Therefore, Spirit of the living God, amplify in every heart present, in every man present, that indeed a man of purpose is superior than a man of great possession. For the life of a man is not defined by the abundance of his possession. A man of contentment is superior to a man of great riches. But because godliness, contentment is a great gain. Spirit of the living God, let every one of these officers this morning, this evening, Lord, remember every word spoken by your servant. Lord, we thank you because it has been decreed that we hide this word in our heart that we will not sin against you. Therefore, when men are saying there is a casting down, we will say continually that there is a lifting up for us. For our God, our Lord, our Master, and our Maker, Lord God Almighty, you are our glory and the lifter up of our head. So we say, look no forth from tonight. We make ourselves available to you to advance your kingdom on earth and to let your glory be made visible even through our lives unto all men. Thank you for making your ways known to us that you might demonstrate your acts through us unto the people. Blessed be your name, our God, for we have prayed in Jesus' name. Thank you for Pastor Deron tonight. We receive him as your son and as your prophet. Therefore, we ask for a refilling, a renewing, a re-energizing, Lord, and strong quickening of your spirit as he continues to serve the purpose of God as your apostle over this commission. Blessed be your name, for we have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.